Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green and Christine Killemeyer here to talk about UNLV's first loss of the 2009-2010 college basketball season. They fall to 7-1 after falling 95-80 at the hands of Kansas State. Red-hot Kansas State. I'm not sure there's a lot of teams that could have beaten Kansas State today. We should preface it all by saying that.
The normal Kansas State couldn't beat that Kansas State team. Don't expect, if you ever watch Kansas State play throughout the rest of the season, don't ever expect to see a performance like that for the rest of the year from the Wildcats.
It was an anomaly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was inhumane.
Well, we should say they came in shooting 33.5% from three-point range at 62.6% at the line. They wind up shooting 60.9% from three, going 14-23, and 78.1% at the line, hitting 25 of 32 shots. Again, not a lot of teams that are going to beat Kansas State on a day like that where you got so many guys just going off. Jake Pullen, 7 of 10 from three, scores 28 points. It was unconscious across the board.
He literally, I don't even think he was looking at the hoop half the time. I think he was just throwing it up and it just went in. It was just one of those, UNLV just happened to play Kansas State on the wrong day.
Yeah, they really did, and UNLV struggled right from go. And we should say it wasn't all just the fact that K-State was hitting every shot under the sun. They played some pretty damn good defense too. UNLV came in, looked like Lon Kruger wanted to go with the speed versus size. You know, he was going to take his chances with that four-guard lineup. He took Chase Stanback out of the lineup, went about 5 inches shorter with Anthony Marshall getting his first career start. And, Anthony played well, but, UNLV was trying that dribble drive and kick out offense, and it just didn't work.
I almost feel like what are your thoughts on this? I almost feel like they needed to feed the big men more. I feel like Darius was down.
There were so many
times during the game. I mean, he had that dunk in the second half, and there were so many times I kept thinking in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, now they're going to go on a run. Every time a big man would get the ball and throw it down, I felt like that was going to be the spark to start the momentum rolling back in UNLV's favor, and then it just kind of fell apart from there. But I feel like they didn't really feed it into them as much as they should have. I mean, yes, Luis Colon is a big guy, and he was down there playing good defense and everything, but and which is, the prime reason he does play at all, because most people will look at him and be like, why is this guy playing for a Big 12 program? But I just feel like they didn't really take advantage of that as much as they probably should have throughout the game.
Totally agree, because, you also got the feeling when they were doing that they were slowing down the pace of the game, because K-State was turning it into a track meet.
Mm-hmm.
And
while that is UNLV's game, not with these guys. Enough.
Exactly.
Not the way they were playing tonight.
And, they just kind of took over. And UNLV tried to control the pace by going down low, and you were right. Because I got the same feeling when it was, 7-10 points. I'm like, all right, well, all they need is one 10-0 run. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. They could do it again. And then the thing that was kind of the X factor there was the fact that UNLV wasn't playing very good defense. I mean, they could score. They were basically trading twos for threes a lot of the game.
Yeah. And another thing that would happen when you would feel like UNLV would start to get the momentum going, they just have a silly turnover. Like, Shaw got rebound that Shaw got, and then threw it away. He was throwing it to Trayvon, was outletting it to Trayvon, and just completely threw it out of bounds. And a couple times that Marshall turned the ball over. There was just, and Jasper, there was that one really weird turnover in the second half.
They were out of their element.
The practicing in the Orleans all week, I don't know if it did what Kruger wanted it to do, because they felt it just, something was off with that team today.
Whatever it was,
out of sync.
And it is worth pointing out, too, that it had been kind of the case for the last, 3-4 games that they flirted with fire a little bit. You look at the Louisville game, they blew that big lead, left the window open for Louisville. You look at the Arizona game, they trail at halftime in a hostile environment. You look at the Santa Clara game, they trail by 10 early in the second half. They had played with fire, and at some point it's going to get you. And Trayvon Willis said it best. He said after the game, we realistically can't expect to keep playing mediocre first half basketball and keep winning games.
And I'm sure most of that frustration comes from him, because, he's been the one that's kind of been able to resurrect the team in the second half, mm-hmm. and this was the first time he wasn't able to do it. And I'm sure, though he didn't say it to us, I'm sure he takes some of that, you know, responsibility on himself, but it wasn't his fault. But, I mean, he's right. Like, you can't – they can't keep relying on these second-half comebacks, which I swear we had these same conversations last year with last year's team. I don't know. I hope it's not the same pattern. I don't think it is, but
well, you get the sense that this team maybe doesn't have that. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. Maybe that self-destruct element where one loss snowballs into two, and so on and so on. And obviously, the schedule falls in their favor now because they play three games this week against three teams with a combined record of 9-17. Southern Utah, Weber State, and South Carolina Upstate.
Upstart.
The mighty.
The upstart university
the
one.
The mighty Spartans. So, the schedule plays
remember
in their
that,
favor.
Folks, for your bar trivia.
South Carolina Upstate. Didn't even know it existed until month ago. But, they get a chance to lick their wounds here, and they got to take advantage of it because after that, you go to Hawaii. They'll have a few winnable games there, and then it's right into conference play, and it's not going
to
be easy.
No, conference play is not kind to the Rebels to start out.
No. Going to New Mexico, to BYU, and San Diego State's looking real good. Utah's improving.
Eeh is right. So
we'll
small baby steps, baby steps. Yeah. We'll look at next week. Next week is the lick their wounds week. They'll get back. They'll get their swag back.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of things that were very un-Rebel-like in this game. You know, you look at the numbers, the 95 points, the most that a Lon Kruger UNLV team has allowed.
But if you look at the UNLV 80, most people would be impressed that UNLV put up 80 points. It's just the fact that the Wildcats put up 95.
Derek Jasper scoreless for the first time, 0-3, and was really silent much of the day. And then the K-State shoots 57.1% from the floor for the game. That was the first time this year anybody shot over 47% against UNLV. So maybe one of those games that at the end of the day the coaches are just gonna throw by the side and say it was a little bit of an oddity. But boy, a lot of credit to K-State. That's going to be a tough team for anybody who has to face them later on. I'm thinking NCAA tournament.
I think the thing with this Wildcat team is it's really easy to overlook because they don't really have a lot of big names. I mean, if you had to pick the biggest name off the team, it would be Jacob Pullum. Mm-hmm. But still, he's not a star player.
Yeah.
And
the most unknown 20-point-per-game scorer in the nation.
Yeah, seriously. But, it's a... I feel like it's just almost just like one of these games. Just like you said, just kind of like it's an anomaly. Let's take it for what it is and move on. And I feel we were both talking about how that's almost we kind of feel how Kruger even feels about it. It's just all right. We got some good competition, got to learn some lessons. Clearly, we learned that we are not a perfect basketball team. This is what we have to work on. Let's go work on it and move forward.
And it's the benefit of a veteran coach who knows this, who has the chops of a Kruger, because you look at wins that they've had recently where he's never too high after them, and it's always the way he's been. And then it helps because when you get to losses like this, it's not something he's going to dwell on. It's not something that's going to affect him. So that seeps down to his players, and I would bet my life they'll turn it around this week and probably win all three of these games.
I would be shocked if they lost any of these games, honestly.
Obviously, going on the road is never easy, though it is
Southern Utah.
So, spinning it forward a little bit, what would you most like to see improve off of what we saw today? What do you think is the most pressing thing that really needs to turn around come Tuesday?
Honestly, I think the fact that Chase Stanback was able to get double digits for the first time in a Rebel uniform was great. But it's still, his performance still seemed kind of a quiet performance. He needs that. Like, I feel like he and the Rebel fans, and I feel like the team, he needs that breakout game. He has yet to have that breakout game. And I feel one coming. It's coming. It's there. Like, it's right there. It's on the cusp. But, he did 5-of-8 from the floor. So, it was, I feel like he's starting to get his confidence back a little bit more. To be fair, he missed a good chunk of early season workouts with his ankle sprain and everything. So, on top of sitting out for a whole year without playing basketball. So, it's it's a lot of stuff to try to overcome, but I think if he can get that breakout game in this next week or so, I think that'll be a good thing for the Rebels to take on into Hawaii and conference play and such.
Very well said, because he's probably the guy who UNLV fans were really hanging their hopes on this year, who really hasn't stepped up at any point this year and done much memorable. I would say, obviously we can always talk about three-point shooting, but, you know, at this point, you know, what's the point? I think they really need to get back with a lockdown they need to come back with a lockdown defensive performance. Be it Tuesday, be it Thursday, be it Saturday, they need a dominant defensive performance at some point this week, because
got after the ball. I mean, they finished with 9 steals and forced K-State to 18 turnovers. It's just it got a lot of little sloppy out around the perimeter. That's how K-State scored most of their threes, was with those high ball screens. But
yeah, and at the end of the day, K-State shot 10% better, and it was the first time this year that UNLV's had more turnovers than assists. Mm-hmm. So sloppy needs to be tightened up. They need to suck it in, and they'll get a chance on Tuesday.
They didn't really have a lot of fan support behind them either.
Crowd never really got, you know. No,
I was highly disappointed considering.
I thought it was going to be a zoo in there.
How much hype was going into this game, and I was very disappointed. Kudos to you fans that stayed till the end and supported your team. That is one of my biggest pet peeves in all of sports. I hate it. I hate when fans leave early. I hate when you, like,
mm-hmm. why? Especially in a loss.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, in a win, whatever. I mean, I guess. I hate when people leave a game early regardless. But, yes, when it's a loss, like, I mean, I feel like the true Rebel fans were pointing at all those bandwagon fans that were leaving early. It's like, see, you jumped on the bandwagon just because they were ranked. Now that they're ranked, or not that they are losing, you're bailing. I was disappointed.
I was disappointed personally. With the atmosphere overall.
Shame on you. Shame on you, Rebels fans. And kudos to you that stayed until the end.
And let's not blame trying to beat traffic, because
no,
traffic is not hard to get out of the Orleans arena.
No, it's a bunch of hooey.
Hooey. I knew you'd say it at some point in this podcast. And that's the perfect place to leave it off. Any final comments?
No. I just, again, commending the Rebels fans that stayed till the end. And for you that did stay till the end, just know that I feel that, like we said, this game is an anomaly. Take it for what it was. It was good competition for the Rebels. And
could
pay dividends later down the road, having played a good opponent like this.
Exactly. For Christine Killemeyer, I'm Ryan Green. This is the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.